You're listening to BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, with Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth from BetQL.
Welcome back, BetQL Daily, presented, as always, by FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe G, Joe O, Aaron Hawksworth with you on a Thursday. We're going to get to our guest, Will Brinson, here in just a second on the Roman guest line. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBS Sports. Very quickly, and we'll start with Will's reaction. Joe, I need your reaction. The Chicago Bears have a coach. Breaking news from Adam Schefter right before we hit the last break. Matt Eberflus is the new Chicago Bears head coach, former defensive coordinator with the Colts. Your reaction?
I want to know if this Ryan P., not Ryan Pace, but Ryan Poles, actually made the hire. Because they were doing these head coaching interviews throughout the process without having a GM. They announced Ryan Poles earlier this week. But was it a situation similar to when they hired Ryan Pace? And they had Ernie Accorsi kind of help out with the coaching process and then said, hey, kid, hire John Fox. Is it a similar situation? Because from the outside, it appears that McCaskey, Phillips, and Bill Polian leading the charge, that they got to a final three with Eberflus and Dan Quinn a part of that and Jim Caldwell. So was it pick one of these three? These are our finalists, or kind of putting pressure on him to do so? Did he have the ability to bring in some other names? Now, apparently, during these the GM interview process, he had mentioned that he did like all these three, and he did want to bring these guys in if he were to be GM to be the head coach. Well, this is the decision coming from a smart organization. So I like that. You're coming from the Colts. Yep. I can get behind that. I have a lot of belief in Frank Reich and everything they're building with Ballard over in Indianapolis. They're not going anywhere. And it appears that the Tampa 2's coming back to Chicago. Turning back the clock, Lovie Smith era. They love that sort of defense here with Lovie's success overall. So I'm sure they're thrilled about that. And it doesn't surprise me at all that they're going from the offensive failure in Matt Nagy to a defensive guy because ownership gets embarrassed by their poor defense.
Yeah, all right. So the Bears have a coach. We'll get Will Brinson's reaction. We'll talk some championship weekend here. Will Brinson, from a senior NFL writer for CBS Sports, joining us on the Roman guest line. Will, welcome back to the show. I guess we'll start off with the news that just broke. Matt Eberflus to the Bears. A lot of this show is stationed in the Chicago area, so we're reacting. What do you think?
Yeah, a question for Joe O really quickly, because I'm trying to remember this, and I was about to go back and rewatch. I was like, as y'all were talking, I had it muted and was rewatching some of that heinous George McCaskey press conference. But I swear, listening to it, that McCaskey, who, I mean, honestly, and I tweeted this at the time, but if you paid 50 of America's or the world's most brilliant scientists, you each get $10 million apiece. And we have an unlimited budget. I need you to go into a laboratory and create the worst possible person to hire a football coach. They would come out and be like, and here we have George McCaskey. What is wrong with this guy? At any rate, I swear in that press conference, he said that, and I think you alluded to it, Joe, that the GM was going to hire the head coach. Am I crazy? Didn't he say that?
But he also, he fumbled through that entire thing. He also said, I have final say.
He also said the head coach is going to report to him for the first time ever. But he was like, I don't know what makes a good – because remember, he was like, I'm a fan, not a football guy. I wouldn't be the guy to hire the head
coach. He doesn't know anything. He basically was up there telling America that he's clueless. That – isn't it remarkable, Will? Football is the family business for your entire life. And he was up there saying, I don't know anything about football. That's why they brought in Ernie Accorsi with their last search. That's why they brought Bill Polian in for this search. And we have an Indianapolis Colts selection with Bill Polian here. So Daboll doesn't make the final three. Flores doesn't make your final three. That's the part that I don't like. I mean, people are wondering, oh, what do you think about this hire? Let me know the OC. Then I can tell you what I think of the hire. Because until I hear who the offensive coordinator is going to be to call plays for Justin Fields and develop Justin Fields, I don't know. It's tough to come up with a passing grade on this.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, sorry, I was trying to jump in, but I think my concern is that if you have this guy who's in charge, essentially the guy who's in charge of all things football, and he needs his binky, his mom's letting him stick around, he goes out and gets Bill Polian to help him with his hire. And they say all along, like, the GM is going to hire the head coach. Well, you just hired it. Like, the hype video for Ryan Poles came out last night, and you presented him
yesterday.
With three candidates that, or yesterday, yeah, three candidates that he could choose between ostensibly. And then you hire the head coach the day after you hire the GM, but the GM is the one who's supposed to hire the head coach. Like, there's no freaking way that Ryan Paul, I mean, maybe Ryan, I just don't believe that Ryan Poles hired Matt Eberflus. Now, I think Matt Eberflus is a good hire. Like, this is a guy who was handpicked to be Josh McDaniels' defensive coordinator in Indianapolis, and then stuck around when McDaniels bailed at the altar and ended up being a great defensive coordinator for Frank Reich. And that Colts defense, you know, you see, you know, what they got out of Darius Leonard, turned him into a defensive rookie of the year. You know, he runs that zone stuff, and I think we could, like, Roquan Smith should be an absolute animal in this defense. You know, they do have some you know, aging pieces. They need to figure out, you know, what the future is. But I mean, you know, in terms of, like, Khalil Mack and various other you know, defensive pieces. But I agree with you, like, the offensive coordinator, huge factor here. Matt Eberflus, well respected. I would expect, I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, like, where exactly he dips in for an offensive coordinator. But yeah, I think it's a good hire, but I'm definitely skeptical because of the process, and I agree with you with the offensive coordinator situation.
What did you think about the hire this morning? Before we get to the two games this weekend, Hackett going to the Broncos.
I thought that, yeah, I actually, do you know how old Nathaniel Hackett is? Because I was surprised. I thought he was older. He's 40, he's like 42.
Young 40s? Yeah.
Yeah, 42. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of times with a guy like Hackett, we get caught up in the sort of stereotype situation where we're like, oh, this guy is just, you know, Rodgers made this guy. You know, he actually had, you know, he was with Doug Marrone for a while, first at Syracuse, and then with the Bills, and then with the Jaguars. And he had a top, I think it was like 18th ranked offense with Kyle Orton, 32-year-old Kyle Orton and EJ Manuel. And then he was the coordinator for the Jaguars when they went to the AFC Championship game and had a top five offense with Blake Bortles. So I think it's a little more interesting than just, oh, they're going to trade for Aaron Rodgers. But obviously it does facilitate a potential Aaron Rodgers trade. And, you know, the more and more you really dig into the Packers roster, their cap situation, the way things ended, the way things went last offseason, it does feel like for both the Packers, like, it's not just an Aaron Rodgers wants out thing anymore. I think it's almost maybe the Packers are just done with Aaron Rodgers, you know? Huge cap hit. They're going to have to cut. I mean, I think they can certainly, you know, things can go differently, but the obvious cuts for the Packers are, you know, Mason Crosby, Randall Cobb, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. That gets you down to like $8 million in terms of the cap space that you're over. And then, you know, you can figure out a few more renegotiations for veterans. You sign Jair Alexander and Rashawn Gary to extensions, and all of a sudden you're far enough under where you can, you know, franchise tag Davante Adams, package him with Rodgers, and send him to Denver. I mean, I have to think that the Rodgers stuff plays at least a part in the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett. But I do think, you know, in terms of George Payton going out and finding a under-the-radar, strong offensive mind who, you know, most people mainly attached to Aaron Rodgers, it was pretty good, a good hire. I think I'm, you know, giving it a B-plus, maybe A-plus if they land Rodgers.
Will, what about some of these other coaching vacancies? We just learned Dan Quinn is staying in Dallas. Byron Leftwich looks to be the only remaining finalist for the Jags now, with Eberflus heading to the Bears and Hackett to the Broncos. What other pieces, where could you see them landing?
Yeah, Aaron, I think that, like, part of it, too, is Hackett was going to go visit, was going to go to the Jaguars and interview today, or at least have a follow-up interview, and the Broncos didn't want to let him out of the building. There was, I think it was Albert Breer reported they had a 10-hour meeting the Broncos did with Hackett yesterday, which sounds like a hellscape. Like, I can't handle more than 90 minutes of a meeting. But apparently, you know, of the 10 hours, there was also some margaritas and tacos involved. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's certainly a little bit more viable for a 10-hour meeting. You know, I think, you know, that, like, you're seeing a little bit of the musical chair situation, I guess, is my point. Is, you know, Eberflus, the Bears wanted to make a move quickly when they saw, you know, you see these dominoes start falling. Everything you hear is that Leftwich makes a lot of sense for the Jaguars. They obviously love him. Former first-round pick there would, you know, really inspire the fan base. But I don't think that Leftwich takes this job if Trent Baalke remains as a GM in Jacksonville. That's just my sense of it. And remember, you know, when that whole San Francisco Harbaugh-Baalke thing went down, Leftwich was with Bruce Arians in Arizona. So it's not like he had a front-row seat, but he had a pretty close seat to seeing, you know, how that all unfolded in San Francisco. And the not so secret situation is that Leftwich wants to work with Adrian Wilson, who's the VP of, I think, pro personnel with Arizona now, former NC State safety and Arizona Cardinals safety, in their Ring of Honor. They want to be joined at the hip. And so it sounds like it's basically going to come down to, will the Cons be willing to let Trent Baalke go to get Leftwich and the Wilson combo? And if so, we could probably hear something fairly soon on that.
Will Brinson, CBS Sports, joining us here, talking NFL Championship Weekend. Well, let's jump to the games here. Bengals 7-point dogs on the road Sunday in Kansas City. You know, obviously what Joe Burrow is doing is outrageous right now with a team that none of us thought would be this far deep into the playoffs. What do you make of this game? It is a big number, the total 54.5. What's your thought as we head towards Chiefs-Bengals on Sunday?
And also it looks like Vic Fangio interviewing for the Jaguars job. Have a Thursday, NFL.
Oh, wait, we drafted our franchise quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, disappointing rookie year. You know what's going to turn it around? Vic. Come on.
Vic Fangio. My goodness. I know. Go ahead, Jacksonville. This day can kick rocks. On Sunday, on CBS, of course, Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes, and on Paramount Plus, where you can stream it as well. It's a great matchup. I actually had before the playoffs started, I bet the Niners and Bengals to meet in the Super Bowl at 85-1. So I'm a little bit biased here in the sense that I really want the Bengals to win this game and the Niners to win their game. Of course, it's hard to predict Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes. You know, you look at, look, the Bengals, you know, Burrow sacked 9 times last week. We've seen Melvin Ingram, you know, playing his tail off. The Chiefs have Chris Jones on the interior. The Bengals' offensive line not playing particularly well. Defensive line injuries just piling up for Cincinnati as well. At the same time, I just don't have interest in fading Joe Burrow. You know, I think 7 is too much. It was 21-7 early in that game for the Chiefs, up 2 touchdowns over Cincinnati a few weeks ago. And then, of course, they mounted that furious comeback. But I think that's sort of instructive in the sense of betting this game. You know, if you're going to lay 7 with Mahomes in Kansas City, you have to believe that their defense can slow down Joe Burrow and the Bengals enough to hold off a backdoor cover. And I just don't think that's possible. So I want the 7 with Burrow. I'm going to pick him for CBS to win outright, just to lean into my 85-1 bet and the prediction I made before the playoffs. But certainly, fading Patrick Mahomes does not feel good. I think I'm 13 seconds away from a perfect playoff bracket, pre-prediction playoff bracket. Thanks a lot, Sean McDermott.
All of us have Niners futures as well here. How do you view that one with the current number of 3.5?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real Sophie's choice for me because Matthew Stafford's my guy. I've been saying he'll end up as a Hall of Famer for like 3 years now. People try to get me committed to a mental institution. And now I'm 2 weeks away from looking correct in that scorching hot nuclear take, because I think if he wins the Super Bowl, he's in. Having said that, it's pretty impossible to ignore the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan. It was like the meme where Shanahan's on vacation and somebody photoshopped Sean McVay's face onto Kyle Shanahan's son because his daddy just owns him. I think you see those adjustments at halftime of that game a few weeks ago, and it's pretty clear that even when Shanahan's at a disadvantage from a personnel standpoint, he is an advantage from a coaching standpoint. And you know, if you think about how, like, the Rams are so good at neutralizing you know, teams like the Buccaneers last week, or like the Cardinals the week before, and the Cardinals in general, because they usually have DeAndre Hopkins out there, right? The offense goes through this, alpha wide receiver, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, with Godwin and Brown hurt. You can have Ramsey matching up on him when the going gets tough. You don't have to shadow him the entire game, of course. And then, you can just unleash Aaron Donald and Von Miller. The problem for the Rams against the 49ers is that they don't really have that alpha receiver, right? They spray it around, they distribute it quickly. And Jimmy Garoppolo, you can knock him all you want, but the guy gets the ball in his hands quickly to the receivers, and he's open, running wide open in this Kyle Shanahan scheme.
There he goes, Will Brinson on the Odyssey. On the Roman guest line, get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort of your home. GetRoman.com/BetQL. On the other side, trends or truth for championship weekend. That's next on the BetQL Network.